we present Beyond Personality. Recollections of C.S. Lewis from former colleagues, pupils, and friends, compiled by Anne Bonser, with extracts from C.S. Lewis's work read by Norman Rodway. Beyond Personality.
Isn't he, I wonder, creating something that's actually impossible? It was an act for him, was a false act, and which he was really, in a sense, quite wrong to try to put across. I mean, having said that, one admires him hugely because he's a marvellously seductive writer. He puts across the most outrageously conservative or chauvinistic views and makes them attractive. He's got this terrible, dangerous facility for making his opinions seem immensely appealing, whatever they may be, and one can't help admiring that, even if one begins to have grave doubts about the man himself.
And he was so gloriously orthodox. I mean, when he hauled down his flag to our Lord, it was down, and that was that, and he swallowed everything else whole, however difficult, and faced the difficulties. Oh, he's a very, very great man.
Looking back all those years, I think the qualities of Jack that I particularly remember, his great gift of gusto. Gusto in friendship, gusto in what he believed, gusto in his enjoyment of the text he read.
There was something in him that was always young and always rather boyish or even childish. And he drew on that in writing the children's stories.
I never got any impression that Lewis liked children the slightest way.
Magdalen College, Oxford, May the 29th, 1954. Dear fifth graders, I am so glad you like the Narnian books, and it was very kind of you to write and tell me. There are to be seven of them altogether, and you are already one behind. I'm tall, fat, rather bald, red-faced, double-chinned, black-haired, have a deep voice, and wear glasses for reading.
He was a very big man, with a large, florid face. He accused me once of having a face like a ham. I think I can retort by saying he himself had a face rather like a ham. Rather red and rather fleshy. The only intellectual feature of his face was his eyes. A light of intelligence always there, and a humorous quality. A sharp humorous quality.
Because Lewis himself was very shabby. He had uncreased trousers. He was ungainly. He loved walking, of course, but he was clumsy, ungainly. Over his shabby jacket and uncreased trousers, he wore what was always called the dun-coloured mackintosh and a cloth cap.
His idea was to spend, perhaps as a matter of national duty, a minimum amount of money on himself and the house. Therefore, when the wallpaper showed signs of damp and damage, it was stripped from the walls and not replaced at all. The downstairs rooms, all you could see in the downstairs rooms was bare plaster. Extremely stained plaster.
I've done sometimes done his bedroom out, and I've found half his socks mixed up with bits of poems and things like that.
Living opposite him, I found he fused his lights with monotonous regularity and always asked me to mend them. And once he came across to my rooms at 2 a.m. to say his room was on fire and ask what he ought to do about it. It was an extremely serious fire, actually. He never had wireless or television. He never read a newspaper. He told me that if there was a war on, someone would tell him about it. And in ordinary mundane affairs, he was very badly informed.
He had, of course, been vice president of Magdalen during the war. And there, the fact that he wasn't a man of business meant that he missed important committee meetings. So something dreadful happened, and after a year, the fellows of Magdalen didn't re-elect him to the vice presidency. He held it for only 1 year. Normally you hold it for two. And Sears always minded this kind of thing very much. But he had his revenge, because what he did, the vice presidents of Magdalen have a book which is entirely private to them. They pass it on to the next vice president. It's a beautiful piece of Edwardian stationery with an enormous heavy leather binding, and every vice president writes a piece about his thoughts or impressions and anything that he felt like. And C.S. Lewis, in fact, wrote probably his only major unpublished work. He wrote a superb verse play in which he invented a number of Elizabethan characters in which a whole gang of villains do down the good, and I forgot which name he'd given himself, and out intrigue him in typical sort of Elizabethan court intrigue play. And it was superb, it was magnificent.
He had various principles about lecturing. I remember him saying once, a lecture should always start about 10 minutes late and should always end 10 minutes early. And if possible, there should be complete change of subject in the middle of the lecture as well. But he lectured from notes, not from a script, and he lectured with exemplary lucidity. I mean, it was always so beautifully, clearly laid out and delivered.
Once in my life, I was deeply grateful to him because when I was an undergraduate, and of course I adored Lewis in those days, and I came in late and the whole of Magdalen Hall was full. Every seat was crammed, everybody. And so having nothing to do, I sat down on the plate warmer. And this was 12 o'clock lecture, and it got hotter and hotter. And then Lewis, very kindly, upped with a chair from the high table and stalked a whole of Magdalen Hall and presented me with a chair.
He was a very, very persuasive person to listen to, and his voice was extremely distinctive with its faintly Northern Ireland tinge. I remember him talking about a very obscure medieval English poet called Lydiard, whom most people have never heard of, and I hadn't heard of him at all till I went up there. He talked about Lydiard for some 10 minutes, I suppose, and I came to the conclusion this was one of the poets I really had to read. So I, directly after this happened, I went along to the Union and I got out Lydiard some poetry. Well, I sat down in front of a great crackling fire in the Union and went to sleep. Lydiard is, in fact, one of the most boring poets I've ever come across in my life. Well, he was like that all the time. Whatever subject he touched, he made it something which was fascinating and interesting.
Hello, Jack.